Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out. Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. Hello, my name is Brooke Taylor, a housewife who has not figured it out. This is episode number 156, and on today's show, writer, TV host, podcaster, speaker Danielle Bean joins us. She has a new book out. It's called You Are Enough, What Women of the Bible Can Teach You About Your Mission and Worth. Specifically, and I like this, focusing on women of the Old Testament. So how much do you know about Judith, for example? Judith, the book of Judith, is not in Protestant Bibles, not someone that I studied, and she's going to rock your world. So that's one example. You got to get ready for that. And really great conversation with Danielle. So we'll share that coming up. Also, the Feast of All Saints and All Souls. November is the month of Holy Souls. It's a time of change. Darkness sets in. Earlier, we fall back. We've got to switch our clocks back. So all those vibrant colors are fading away. The animals go into hibernation. So for us, it also coincides as we prepare for the end of the church year and the reminder of our own mortal end and what lies ahead. And not usually something that we like to think about, but there is a beauty in honoring the souls that have touched our lives and paved the way, not as the world glorifies it with the pagan celebration and the gore and kind of the circus, but the beauty and the legacy of the torchbearers of our faith. So that's what we want to zero in on and focus. And All Saints Day, November 1st, is a holy day of obligation. So we will wrap up the show with a special prayer for that. And also, big stuff to share with you about Choose Hope and some personal news. So let's go. It is with great joy that I tell you that it is time. We are getting ready to launch pre-orders for Choose Hope coming November 1st. That's the date. Happens to be coinciding with All Saints Day, appropriately enough, because as we are reminded, Lord, we are the people that longs to see your face. This is the hope we hold on to. And the multitude of witnesses, saints that are living among us, those experiencing the beatific vision of glory, that we are all in this for the hope that we have of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to share something with you. This is what I included in the introduction of the book. It's just a little excerpt here from Spe Salvi, which is Latin for saved in hope, written by Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI. And so I really think it sets the tone. It says this: human life is a journey. Towards what destination? How do we find the way? Life is like a voyage on the sea of history, often dark and stormy, a voyage in which we watch for the stars that indicate the route. The true stars of our life are the people who have lived good lives. They are lights of hope. Certainly, Jesus Christ is the true light, the sun that has risen above all shadows of history. But to reach him, we also need lights close by, people who shine with his light, and so to guide us along our way. And that is it. That is the foundation of what you can expect in the 52-week devotional journey. Hope is the greatest gift. It is the renewable resource that never ends. But sometimes we need those other lights shining the way to light our own spark of hope. So I hope that you will find Choose Hope a worthy effort. I'm so excited to share this and to get to this point with you. You'll be able to easily access the store. So I'm going to put it in the show notes. You can link it right up and share with others. Save the date again. It's November 1st, and pre-order your copy.
Join the show. Share your feedback on Voxer. Find Brooke at BrookeTaylor1 or shoot us an email at feedback@goodthingsradio.com and be part of the conversation.
absolutely delighted today to welcome one of, I think, the most recognizable names in Catholic women's ministry and the new evangelization, someone who I have admired from afar, no kidding, for probably 10 years back in the day when I would check daily blogs and not miss a post from this writer and speaker. She is Danielle Bean, out with a brand new book, freshly minted, called You Are Enough, What Women of the Bible Can Teach You About Your Mission and Worth. And Danielle is here from the car, multitasking mama, to tell us about it. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. I'm thrilled to be here with you, Brooke.
Likewise. And I have to tell you, it's funny because this morning I was getting coffee, preparing to get out the door with my kids to school. And my son, preteen boy, he said, "Mom, why do you have a creepy smile on your face?" I didn't even realize it. You know why, though? I was thinking about our interview and I was really up late reading the book and preparing mentally in my mind for our questions. And
yeah,
I hope it doesn't scare you, but I guess it was a pleasant thing.
Oh my
so
God.
I'm glad you're here. And I want to talk about your new book because I know the reason I was smiling is that the listeners will be blessed by the content of what is inside. And so give us a scoop on this one. In this new book, you focus on women of the Old Testament. So,
right.
Rahab, Bathsheba, Delilah, Hannah, Sarah, Rachel, Ruth, Naomi. That's just a handful right there. Mm-hmm. So I guess the first question is that, and you point this out in the book too, the women you choose that you're using their stories to speak to us as the readers, I would consider today outliers of society. Rahab,
right.
A prostitute, for example. And right out of the box, and you crack me up with this, you say the Old Testament is weird. And, you know, you're right.
Totally, it's so weird.
So what made you focus on the outliers in the Old Testament and these women that you want to bring to life to us today?
Yeah, well, this book seemed like a sort of a natural follow-up to my most recent book, which looked at women in the New Testament, which was Your Worth It. And so when I was talking with Ascension about doing another book, this just seemed like the natural thing to do. And I was hesitant in the beginning because, you know, like I said, the Old Testament is weird. There's all this, I've never really felt a connection with the characters in the Old Testament. It seems like another world almost in many ways, you know, different times, different culture, different values, you know, just different social system. And where it wasn't like these people are interacting with Jesus, you know, like that's what I loved focusing on previously was the, you know, Jesus. So doing this book project, when I did agree to it, it was a good little project for me to really encourage me to just dive deep into some of these stories that I'd heard, some of them hundreds of times over the course of my lifetime. I'm a cradle Catholic. I grew up with my, you know, Catholic Bible storybook. And, you know, I had all of these stories in there. And yet reading them really focused on the perspectives of the women who were in these stories. I saw them with new eyes. And I was surprised by the message that God has for us uniquely as women inside of these eternal stories that are included in the Holy Scriptures. So, you know, I'm always telling people there's no accident in Scripture. And sometimes you'd like to think there is because something's weird, something seems off, or you're like, why is this character focused on? Why is this detail included? But if you really look deeply into these stories and consider those questions, and I did that in my research for this book, and I did it prayerfully as I included, you know, as I worked on each chapter and thought about each character. And these women's stories came to life for me in a way that they had not previously. And that's what I really hope to convey to the readers of You Are Enough, that God has a message for you inside of these stories in sacred scripture. And their stories, although some of the details are weird and things seem off or whatever, we essentially are the same stories of struggle, of hope, of wanting to know and love God, struggling to trust. All those things that we worry about in our stories that we share today are the same stories that our sisters from thousands of years ago were sharing.
Well, and that's, I think, what's done so beautifully here, that you recognize not all women are the same. I mean, we are an enigma even to ourselves sometimes.
But definitely yet, to my husband.
I think that's timeless. And yet there are these common themes of belonging and of how God uses the unlikely, the wounded, the lowly, and that we all want to be daughters of the Most High King. And you so beautifully convey that. So I know, because I'm just fresh reading this and I'm thinking about Rahab, that's who you start with. Can you share with our listeners one example of that?
Yeah, well, Rahab for sure is a great example. That's why I started with her, because so many of us feel like outsiders. And I think it's sort of an ironic, you know, fact about our experience as women that all of us feel like we don't fit in. And we think everybody else is fitting in. Everybody else is, you know, everybody else feels like they've got it all together, when nothing could be further from the truth. When one of us opens up in a group of women, I'm sure you've experienced this, Brooke, in different times in your life, where somebody makes themselves vulnerable in a way and shares some struggle, some way that she feels like an outsider, some way she feels like she doesn't belong. She is surrounded by, you know, hashtag me too. And I think that that's so vitally important in our relationships with other women, the ways in which we connect. And that's what we can do here through these stories. So, right, Rahab is a prostitute. They, you know, she's referred to as a harlot. Yep, that meant she sold sexual services. And in any society, that's the definition of an outsider, you know, that's going to be looked down upon. But we also know as women that no woman chooses that when she has other better options available to her. This wasn't some sinful choice on Rahab's part that she, you know, she made without being coerced in some way by her life circumstances. You know, she might've been married to a bad man. She might've, you know, the scripture doesn't tell us these things. We don't know how she ended up where she is, but we do know that that kind of lifestyle is deeply wounding, especially to a woman. Yeah. Sexual sin is so deeply wounding at the core of our being, because we know, whether we want to admit it or not, every woman knows in her heart the dignity and the value of our sexual identity and the intimacy that can be violated there. And when we misuse our bodies in that way, we walk away wounded. And so, especially in our culture today, you know, there are women who might be engaged in all kinds of sexual activity and think it's, you know, completely 100% of their own free will. They're not prostitutes or whatever. But at the same time, they're still the walking wounded in the way that Rahab must have been, because she was hurting herself in this way. And so many women and young girls in our culture are hurting themselves in a similar way. But even if you don't relate to that part of Rahab, all of us, I think, can relate to the idea of feeling like, how can I be a chosen person that God sees and that he calls and that he wants to use to work, you know, work good in this world, that he has a plan for me inside of his kingdom? That I think it's really hard for us to see that. And it may not be the label prostitute you're putting on yourself, but the label of sinner, the label of failure, loser, whatever you might, you know, whatever that inner talk is that we sometimes engage in that's so destructive, those labels we want to put on ourselves to distance ourselves from God, that they're no excuse. God doesn't use those labels for us. You know, that's Satan who's teaching us to use those words to refer to ourselves and making that our identity. But our true identity is from God's perspective. And that's what we need to see inside of this story of Rahab, that God calls her anyway. He sees her when society would have pushed her aside, and he has a special mission for her to play. This nobody, this quote unquote loser, outsider, sinner, all of those labels don't matter to God. He doesn't see us that way.
And how she transforms in such boldness when she recognizes that and does the right thing and is then, you know, exalted. And it's really beautiful. And for me to go back and reread these stories, and I love your boldness in rooting out these things that we don't often talk about, like abortion and sexual pain and abuse that people may be carrying. The story about Bathsheba that you shared cast a new light on that narrative that I had never thought of before. Also betrayal. And you don't shy away from any emotion. And that's what I so appreciated about reading it.
Yeah, I cried a lot while I wrote this book. And, you know, and I think that's an important thing for us to connect with as women, that those are things that are deeply in our core being. Those are things that are part of our core identity. And some of them are deeply wounding. Some of them are lies. And I think the more that we can lay bare those feelings, those thoughts, those emotions, those temptations that we have to put those kinds of limitations on God's love, the more we can do that in an open, honest, vulnerable way with one another, the more we have to benefit. We can build each other up. We can affirm what's good in ourselves. And we can affirm our dignity and our calling and our mission and our identity as daughters of God.
It looks like you're getting emotional now, just thinking about
it. I know, I totally am. And this is me. You know, if you ever hear me speak anywhere, I always cry when I'm talking. But I think that's actually part of our feminine gift, that we're connected with our emotions in that way, and that we have the ability to express ourselves. And that's part of also a theme that I tried to bring out in the book, is the gift that women are meant to be to the whole world.
And embracing that, no matter where we are. And because when you talked about the enemy, I think there is that strategy of isolation. No one understands you. And we hear that voice that you're alone and no one understands and you're ill-equipped, because we get weary seeing these stories. And just like we've worked on for many months with Choose Hope, they are candles to say, okay, see how God uses, and especially through the lowly and unexpected. That's what's so exciting. That's the paradox of the cross.
Right.
I wanted to ask you about Judith too, because I am embarrassed to say that I couldn't recall much about her. And I was so glad that you shared the story. And for anyone else who's like me, can you tell us a little bit about our sister Judith?
Yeah. I mean, I think she's hilarious because, well, first of all, she's not in the Protestant Bible, right?
Right.
So they don't have this book. So we get Judith, all right?
Right.
And she's pretty awesome because, you know, and there are details of the story that don't add up, right? Because this is sort of an exaggerated story that's meant to be like a poem and a sort of an encourager of God's people. And so in this story, she sneaks into an enemy camp by using her feminine wiles, right? She gets herself all done up. So first of all, she was a widow, right? But she was a beautiful woman. And I just love the descriptions inside of the Bible where she's, you know, she's putting on all, she's doing her hair and she's putting all these ornaments on her body and she's wearing this jewelry. And I mean, there's nothing like that's expressed as immodest about what she's doing, but she is fully taking advantage of her feminine beauty and highlighting it in a way that she knows is going to work to her advantage. And by using that charm, she charms her way into the enemy camps and the enemy general, and without losing any of her own virtue, because she doesn't like sleep with him, but she, you know, befriends him, she charms him over the course of a couple of days and gains his trust in that way, until such a point where he's feeling so relaxed that he totally is totally drunk. And then he kind of passes out and all of his servants leave, thinking that the two of these are going to sleep together now, which of course is not Judith's plan. She's a virtuous woman from the start and to the end. And yet, and this is what I love, is the drama of this moment where she's in the tent and he's asleep there, completely vulnerable to her because of what she's accomplished through, you know, charming him with her beauty. And then she cuts off his head with his own sword, right? So she kills this enemy general in a way that
only in the Old Testament.
I know, like cutting off people's heads. What are we talking about here? This is our feminine calling. And yet I love it because, you know, she's such a symbol of strength, of womanly strength, using her femininity in a strong way to serve God, right? That's what ultimately is happening here, that she's defeating this enemy of the people of God. And she and her servant bring back the guy's head in a bag, right? And it's just so insane when you're thinking about this. I'm like, this is like the worst horror movie, but also awesome drama. What's going on here? But I love the drama of that moment where she's alone in the tent with him, because you may never have the opportunity to cut off an enemy general's head, right? Probably not going to happen. But we all do have those moments where we feel called to something that's scary. We feel called to something that seems terrible, that seems completely out of our comfort zone, right? This is not something I can possibly do. And I think we've all experienced that in different ways in our lives. I know I've experienced it in my own motherhood. Like, are you kidding, God? Like, you know, I mean, for sure, I always wanted to be a mom. But in some of the details of what that has brought out in my life, I'm like, nope, not that. You know, I'm not able to do that. And so, you know, and throughout these Old Testament stories, we see these characters time and time again who are called to something that feels beyond them. But this is in such a dramatic way with Judith. And she makes that courageous choice to follow through and do what she believes is the will of God. And that God rewards that, that then there's this great rejoicing and celebration and all these beautiful songs that she's singing among her people. And they're really just rejoicing and celebrating this great victory for the people of God, for their, you know, the one true God, which was always the theme inside of these stories in the Old Testament, mm-hmm. is this battle between good and evil, this battle between God and the many gods or the pagans, you know? And so this beautiful victory that she enjoys as a result of making that courageous choice, which, you know, I love just thinking about that moment where she knew what she was called to do, what she was supposed to do. And I think we can all just relate to that feeling. And sometimes we might not follow through. And sometimes we might shy away from God's call.
That's right. And there is no Netflix series or Amazon trending that is as dramatic as you will read in a story like that in the Old Testament. And I think it's St. Jerome that says ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. Mm-hmm. And that is so important, that because it's a call, it's an invitation for us to dig in. And recently having an archaeologist, a scholar of the Holy Land on, she was talking about how if we really seek to know him, we need to know the scriptures mm-hmm. he read and the world and the understanding that he entered into. And so stories like that are really important. And if you seek to dig deeper, there's a lesson there other than just mm-hmm. the shock. And it's funny because reading the Old Testament with the kids sometimes, you know, yeah. It's
rated R.
I know. Totally. But that's why it's good to have those things kind of ready, those nuggets to say, okay, we'll think about it this way.
Right.
And I love how animated you are in retelling it. I can tell you have fallen in love with these women. Is there one in particular that was your favorite?
You know, I'm really partial to Sarah, and I always have been, but I really became more so in reading her story juxtaposed with the story of Hannah, because these are two women who suffered infertility. Now, this is a common theme in the Old Testament, especially where, you know, they were living in a time where a woman's fertility was really her social status, right? Yeah. I mean, she really couldn't be considered a respectable woman, and she was considered a sinner in some kind of way because she was being punished by God through her infertility. So these are two women who suffered infertility and suffered that cross, and yet they responded to it differently. You know, they both were, you know, longing for a child and asking God for a child. And Sarah, in getting that answer no time and time again, and how many of us can relate to this, became bitter. And, you know, in a way that's a little bit cynical toward, you know, her relationship with God, where she ends up, you know, when God finally says and she gets the message, I'm going to bless you with a child, she laughs. Like, am I going to experience pleasure in my old age? She just laughs this off. And how many of us respond that way? I know I do. I'm such a brat sometimes inside of my prayer life where I can be just, you know, interiorly or rolling my eyes, even as I'm praying for something and not fully trusting in God's goodness and that God wants good things for me. And so Sarah had that struggle. And I love that, you know, this God of the Old Testament is this, you know, God from the sky, God the Father, this great, powerful being. And yet he has these intimate relationships with his people. We see it with Adam and Eve in the garden. He's walking with them in the garden. And then we see it here with Sarah, where it's a very funny interaction. If you go back and read it, she says, he accuses her of laughing and says, why did you laugh? And she says, I didn't laugh. And he says, yes, you did. I mean, can you imagine having this conversation with God? I mean, what is going on here? So I love that Sarah's like that. And yet Hannah, of course, is who we all want to be, right? She doesn't lose her hope. She holds on to hope and she trusts in the Lord, and God rewards her with a child ultimately. She was praying so fervently in the temple that Eli the priest, who observed her, accused her of being drunk. And she said, no, I'm simply pouring out my heart. And we can relate to that too, those times when we poured out our heart to God. And Hannah does that so beautifully. So God rewards her with a child. He rewards that hope. And yet I find a lot of encouragement and affirmation in the fact that God also rewards Sarah. He can work with us, you know, even if we're struggling, even if we're a little bit cynical, even if we're becoming bitter and feeling like God doesn't care, and that, you know, our impatience for his blessings, that he sees us in that and he loves us in that and he wants good things for us.
And over that reminder that he is the Father, because it is so childlike him. So I just love it. And I love, too, that the book is so power-packed, but an easy read. I think it's something like 160 pages.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
thank
so
you
I
for
really
that.
Wanted it to. Yeah, I wanted it to be readable. I wanted it to be doable.
And you are such a polished pro. You've been doing this a long time. What book number is this? Do you even know at this point?
Yeah, it's either 5 or 6. I'm
wow.
terrible. I believe it's 5. Yeah.
We love you for it. Thank you. And how can we get a hold of the book?
So you can go to my website, daniellebean.com, of course, and there are all the links to the books there. But also ascensionpress.com is selling the book directly, and it's available at Amazon. So you can just look up that title, You Are Enough, or look up my name and it'll come up.
Okay. Well, congratulations. We love it. And it's called You Are Enough, What Women of the Bible Teach You About Your Mission and Worth.
Thank you, Brooke. I really appreciate it.
It's Brooke's House. It's Brooke's House.
come on in. We're just finishing off a birthday celebration in the house. My littlest guy, my baby, Gus, just turned 7, which I can't believe that now I have my youngest child I have is 7. This has just been an emotional year. Between our unexpected pregnancy earlier in the year and then our loss in the summertime, then my son beginning his senior year and this birthday, you know, my babies are growing up. So I don't think, especially talking to other moms whose kids are older, it's only just going to begin to get more emotional from here. So I'm trying to prepare myself for that and really recognize that I have to grab on to the precious sands in the hourglass every day, because on the other end of the age gap, my bookend on the other side, my son Gabriel is 17 and he's experiencing a lot of new things as well. He's a senior in high school. And side note to that, oh my word, how busy it has been already between senior pictures and senior interviews and planning for graduation and the graduation party and all that's just to name a few. So it's been like a rude awakening that it is not slowing down. And what I wanted to share with you is a big development on our end in our home. And some of you may have seen this. We posted on social media, and that is my son, Gabriel, has decided to join the military through the Delayed Enlistment Program, or sometimes called the Delayed Entry Program, which means he is officially in the reserves. He receives incentives and money for college and benefits. And the nice thing for me and my mom heart, kind of selfishly, is that nothing really changes here. So he is starting his time, but he's not going anywhere or doing anything right now. He just has made that commitment. He has been sworn in. He could go to drill weekends if he wants. No, he's doing what's called the Future Soldiers Program. So he goes and works out, which is nice, but he won't leave for basic training until over the summer after he graduates. And then he goes on next year to finish the Fire Academy. So it's nice because he'll be able to live at home, be able to do the Fire Academy, and only have to invest 2 days a month to do the reserves, but still get money for college and ongoing education and training that he needs. And then after he graduates the Fire Academy, he will go for his job training for the military. Gabe is an amazing young man, but things don't always come easy for him. And we know as parents, we pray for wisdom and kind of go to the ends of the earth to figure out what it is that our kids need to unlock all it is that's inside them. So for us even to be at this point, I feel like it's an answer to prayer and he feels confident. And the thing that I want to share with you that is kind of private and interesting is I was going to share this news with you in the last show. I was so excited and was going to announce this. And then I started getting on message boards of military moms and researching articles. You try to put together a well-rounded story, like a journalistic approach. But the more that I started researching and looking at these message boards, I actually began to feel differently. When I was reading all of the negativity and people criticizing parents who would allow, I say that in air quotes, their young man or woman to join the military and saying, well, these unjust wars that we fight and it's not worth them coming home mentally wounded, it really was depressing to the point where I didn't even want to talk about it when I went into the studio to sit down and record. Now, for me, I never grew up overly patriotic. I just said the Pledge of Allegiance. I went to 4th of July parades, but I wasn't necessarily waving the flag. And I certainly never imagined that I would be running a race carrying the flag, which I did a couple of months ago, if you would have asked me growing up. But everything changed for me when I met my husband and got married and became an Army wife. My eyes were opened in new ways that I never imagined the sacrifice and the beauty, the selflessness that these families willingly, voluntarily offer. And everybody has a different story. Some aren't the most altruistic. Some sign up because they want to go into combat. Some, like my son, they don't want to go into combat. He simply wants to get additional training, maybe travel a little bit, learn skills that will help him grow, and also receive those benefits. Now, that being said, he's going in with his eyes wide open. But I just want to say that I am proud of him. And I think often, like the church or perhaps like the priesthood, it can be misunderstood. It's that John 15:13 verse, greater love has no man than to lay down his life for the sake of his friends. But I think similarly, if my son were to enter the seminary and I were to go on message boards about men becoming priests, you know that what we would find and what we would read from the general public weighing in would not be accurate or fair. And I understand everyone is entitled to their opinion, but for us, we needed to just shut that all away, shut it off, and go back to who I know my son to be, and more importantly, who God knows my son to be. From the time he was in my womb, I have prayed for his steps and for his path of his life. And so I do feel at great peace. I just continue to pray for him, for all of our children. Raising kids is not easy, especially in this day and time. And so, as a wonderful priest recently told me in confession, I just have to give him, hand him over to Our Lady, and let Blessed Mother take him. And I am trusting her. So thank you so much. So many of you reached out and shared words of encouragement and support. And I did show my son, and he pretty much just said, cool, as boys do. But I know for him, he was touched. So thank you so much, and God bless you. As we wrap up the program, I'd like to end today with a prayer for the faithful departed. Prayer for the faithfully departed. O gentlest heart of Jesus, ever present in the Blessed Sacrament, ever consumed with burning love for the poor souls in purgatory, have mercy on the souls of thy servants. Be not severe in thy judgment, but let some drops of thy precious blood fall upon our beloved departed. And do thou, O merciful Savior, send thy angels to conduct the souls of thy servants to a place of refreshment and peace. Amen. Thank you again to special guest Danielle Bean for joining me on today's program. Her new book, You Are Enough, available now. You can click on the show notes for that or check out ascensionpress.com. Next week, international guest Brother Richard Hendricks. So excited about his segment coming up. He's joining us all the way from Ireland. He is the guardian of Ards Friary there in Donegal, and he's a meditation teacher. He's an extraordinary writer. I was first introduced to him online, social media, Instagram specifically, would read his reflections and just feel so edified the way that he writes. Every now and then, someone writes in such a way that it's poetry, it's lyrical, it just, there's a melody in your soul when you read it. This is how he writes. This is his spirituality. And he also happens to be a contributor to Choose Hope. So thrilled about that. And he is an extraordinary, gifted holy man, will be joining us on the program, so you don't want to miss him on episode number 157 next week. A big thank you to Darcy Hauser, a brand new GTR good friend of the show. Darcy is now a new Podbean patron, so thank you, Darcy, for supporting the work of Good Things Radio. As we were praying this week, including Darcy's name, and my son pointed out he had never heard that name before. So I love it. Now she's part of our daily intentions, kind of enfolded in our family. So thank you, Miss Darcy. And if you would like to give to the efforts of Good Things Radio as we seek to grow and continue spreading the good news, please consider becoming a GTR good friend of the show. Just click the link in the show notes for more information. Thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming, for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire, so for any audio needs you may have, check him out at cumminghomestudio.com. May we all feel blessed and covered by the cloud of witnesses that intercede for us every day, including the women of the Old Testament. God bless you, friends. Until next time, peace and love.